This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And like so many human ice cubes, an estimated 140 million cold Americans have been plunged into the polar refreshment gripping much of the nation today, a cold drink being stirred by fierce winds and chilled by record low temperatures from Minnesota to Georgia. Maybe all of the warm bodies are more like little marshmallows bobbing on the surface of a polar vortex, it's called. Here's a couple of marshmallows.
I'm Luke, and as a 20-year-old Minnesotan, this weather has given me extra resolve to move to California for grad school. I feel like 20 winters has been enough for me.
This is Carissa Terranova in Dallas, Texas, and it's cold here. It's been in the 20s all day, and I've had to put sweaters on my chihuahuas to walk them outdoors. Where the sun penetrates through to the ground, it's hot, as though there's something wrong with the atmosphere.
Something wrong with the atmosphere? That's the experience of the polar vortex from two locations in the United States. For more on the science behind the polar vortex, we turn to Jennifer Francis, research professor at Rutgers University's Institute for Marine and Coastal Sciences. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you, John.
Are you warm enough wherever you are?
Well, I'm inside, so I'm fine, but it's pretty nippy out there. I agree with everybody else who's called in.
Well, respond to Carissa. Is there something wrong with the atmosphere?
There certainly is something wrong with the atmosphere. There's 40% more carbon dioxide in it now than there was only half a century ago, and that's having all kinds of interesting effects.
And the polar vortex, I've heard it described as a low-pressure system that's usually centered on the North Pole that, because of the jet stream, has sort of slipped south. Is that right?
Yes, that's basically right. The polar vortex is a feature of the Earth's atmospheric system, and it is this relative low and cold center over the Arctic, usually, that's surrounded by very fast-moving winds that we call the jet stream. And it can be kind of circular, but oftentimes it takes a more interesting shape as the winds travel around the northern hemisphere. And for the last 6 weeks or so, it's been in a very interesting shape.
Now, I've been reading a bunch about this, and I'm not a climate scientist, and it's hard for me to evaluate this, but there seems to be a consensus that while behavior of the atmosphere may be in general related to the carbon issues that you spoke about and global warming, that this particular event can't really be related to the global warming as we understand it in terms of the, you know, full climate of the Earth. Yes or no?
You are correct that this particular event we cannot directly link to global warming. But that said, this kind of event we think is going to become more likely as we go forward into the future. We've seen an uptick in the occurrence of these kinds of events. And when I say this event, I mean the jet stream is in a very, what we call an amplified pattern, meaning it's taking big swings north and big swings south. And when it does that, it creates extreme weather conditions in various places. So while we're dealing with extreme cold right now, Alaska has been feeling extreme warm, as has Scandinavia. And we know also that California has been had the driest year on record. UK has been battered by storm after storm. And all of these things are linked. And it's through the jet stream in this very unusual sort of a pattern.
Well, it may cause our friend Luke there in Minnesota to rethink his consideration of California as a place to go to grad school. Jennifer Francis, thanks so much.
Anytime.
Jennifer Francis is a research professor at Rutgers University Institute of Marine and Coastal Sciences. So what are the tangible consequences on the ground as the jet stream slips south and the polar vortex slips south with it? Richard Thomas is the owner of the R. Thomas Deluxe Grill in Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome to the program, Richard.
Thank you. Good morning. It's cold here.
Yeah, and I gather the birds are inside.
Yes, it was a bear for us to transport the birds, so we moved the birds to my office, 18 of them, and then we moved them to yesterday to the veterinarian because they were open on Monday, and they received all my birds. Thank God for them.
And this is the feature of your deluxe grill in Atlanta, Georgia. You've got 18 tropical birds perched outside the entrance. Normally, that's just a lovely kind of thing there in Atlanta. So you actually had to board the birds to deal with this polar vortex business.
Oh, had to, yes. We've been there 29 years, and this has only happened to me once before. I worry about the birds when the temperature gets into the 20s. See, each bird has a ceramic heater above them, and some of the birds have a heated perch. But this situation with the wind was a different animal, and that's why I made the decision to move my babies. My oldest is 69, and she was the first one that I moved.
What are their names?
Her name is Sparkle, and she is 69. Then I have two other Amazons, Ollie and Charlie, and they're 40, and it just goes on.
Right, right. No, I got a good picture of that. Anything your restaurant customers have been saying about the cold?
We just hardly had any business at all yesterday. My restaurant seats 100 people, but it's outside on a patio that is covered, and we do have heaters, but we are struggling to keep it temperature where the customer would be comfortable. So it's one of these days we'll get through it. I think we'll be in trouble until about Thursday morning, and that's when I plan on moving my birds back.
All right. Well, good luck on that. Is there soup on the menu there at the Deluxe Grill?
Red potato corn chowder, and it is wonderful.
And hot, piping hot.
Yes.
Richard Thomas is the owner of the R. Thomas Deluxe Grill in Atlanta, Georgia, famous for all those tropical birds perched outside the entrance. They've been boarded with the veterinarian until at least Thursday. Richard, thanks so much.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
And it's not just birds that have to be taken inside.
This is Sue McCunn in Walterboro, South Carolina. I've taken in the plants, and I'm just going to pray for the best with the rest.
From Kirkwood, Missouri, my husband and I are both educational sign language interpreters and are finishing up our holiday break. We now have 2 extra days off, which is great, but we don't get paid for them. It will really impact us financially.
Evan from Rockford, Illinois. My girlfriend and I were both called off work today, and we were sitting inside the house cleaning up after the holidays and enjoying a second day off together after not getting a day off together often.
Jim Run from Columbia, South Carolina. During these historic cold temperatures, I am staying inside and reading about global warming.
From Brooklyn, New York, one of you wishes they could do that. You need an engineer or a plumber. The back of our house in Brooklyn is partially open due to construction, leaving our pipes semi-exposed. So it's been a crazy time trying to keep them from freezing.
Marilyn Lowe, I'm calling from Eugene, Oregon. And it's freezing here, but it's a lot warmer than our low of minus 10 in December. We also have an air inversion, so our air quality is poor because of trapped wood smoke and car exhaust. But other than that, we're doing great.
A lot of wood stoves there in Western Oregon. Not so many in Pulaski, Tennessee, though. We used to heat with propane, but you can't trust that it will be delivered in bad weather, so we installed a cast iron wood stove this year. Toasty.
My name is Mike, calling from Woodland Park, New Jersey. We're dealing with the cold by not going outside as much for dog walks. While he doesn't like it, it's, you know, quite unfortunate that that's the case. We are just hanging out inside and keeping warm. I say bring it on.
Hanging out with the dogs. Boston, Massachusetts. Breathing is more difficult the colder it is and prevents us from going out for doctor's appointments when you have to use public transportation. Milford, New Hampshire. Car won't start reliably. A lot of that. Stranded for 2 days away from home, probably having to invest in a different car for reliable transportation to work.
Christine in Queens, this extreme weather is making me really nervous, especially about driving on icy roads. And then I'm not sure or confident that my old car will work if these temperatures plunge below zero. And then again, I'm thinking about the pipes and the utility wires in and around my home. And that makes me a little anxious. I guess I'll just have to do the best that I can. I hope everyone stays safe.
Any help for Christine out there? Not much from Seattle, Washington. I'm in Seattle, so it's been mellow due to the jet stream shoving the cold air east. I dealt with sustained sub-zero temps on a regular basis growing up in eastern Washington, down to 60 below with wind chill. People need to stop being whiny. Well, here's an East Coast whine.
Alan Fence in Brooklyn, New York. It seems none of the weather people are discussing the connection between this extreme cold phenomenon and global warming. When warm ocean waters cause historic glaciers to melt in large quantities, at the moment they're melting, they're absorbing vast quantities of heat from the water in the air, causing a temporary chill. And unless they understand that, people will make the wrong decisions.
A scientifically sophisticated whine about climate change. How do you feel about the Polar Express that may have hit your neighborhood? 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.